I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Right, quickly, before we get on with the episode, we've got an announcement. The MMA Fan Podcast is now sponsored by Free Train. Blake, what's Free Train?
Free Train is a fantastic company that do these amazing vests for when you run, when you train. Whether you're going for a run or hitting the bag, you can keep your phone close to your chest. And yeah, they're brilliant. They've got a little pocket for your keys. You no more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket or at an awkward angle on your arm or anything like that. You've got the vest on. Phones there, easy access to it. They do some great gloves as well to keep your hands warm and be able to touch the phone and everything. It's all linked up with your phone. So yeah, they're a fantastic brand. A couple of pockets for your keys, everything you need when you go for a run or if you're hitting the bag training.
And you're not just saying this for the sake of it. Before they even become our sponsors, you had one of these vests, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've still got it. I run with it all the time. But yeah, before they became our sponsors, I had one of these vests. They are genuinely brilliant. I really like them. And yeah, I'm really pleased they're our sponsor.
And if you want one, if you head over to freetrain.com, when you go shopping and you put all your stuff in your basket, just before you check out, if you put in the code MMAFAN, you'll save yourself 10%. Don't say we don't spoil you here on this podcast. 10% off an amazing vest from Free Train. www.freetrain.com.
Right, let's get on with the show.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. Joining me as ever,
Blake Harrison.
Hey. There he is. You're all right?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. So,
just okay? Is there something you need to tell the group? Are you all right?
No, I'm all right. A little hungover, if I was to be perfectly honest. But,
all right.
You know, we're recording this on bank holiday. So, you know, that's what they're about, isn't it? You can have a little drink at the bank holiday. God, you're not my dad. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'd love to be my dad. Today's guest. How ridiculously cool is JJ Wilson?
Oh, my God. This chat is so good. He's such a cool bloke. He's got some really interesting stories. He's been through some really interesting stuff. And yeah, I mean, we say on the show, he's basically a kind of superhero. He's, you know, he's I don't want to give away too much, but he's survived an armed robbery recently. That was an incredibly interesting story. He's obviously an elite level fighter in Bellator. He's ranked fourth at the moment after a fantastic win over Pedro Carvalho, where he came out immediately in the second round, landed a spinning back fist, and that was pretty much all she wrote after a couple of punches after that. Yeah, I mean, he looks like he could be next up to fight the winner of AJ McKee Petruccio Pitbull in that featherweight Grand Prix. So we'd like to get his thoughts on that, fight coming up and where he features in the future to the winner of that fight. Yeah, great. It's a really brilliant chat.
Absolutely. And what we will say regarding that chat is JJ was in his girlfriend's car. And so he was doing the Zoom on his phone. So there might be maybe one or two tiny little sort of glitches as the conversation unfolds, where the Zoom the Zoom stutters a little bit. But 76 will do his best to produce it and give you the best listening experience you can get. But we'll take that, because we got to speak with an incredible prospect that I think on seeing his previous fights, that belt's never going to be too far away for him. So should we just get straight on with it?
Let's get straight into it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's our chat with the brilliant JJ Wilson.
Joining us today, JJ Wilson, how are you doing?
I'm good. What about you guys?
Yeah, we're good.
Really good, we're mate. Good. Thanks, good.
Well, we like to start our conversations with fighters by kind of going back and asking how you got into the fight game, how it come about.
I'm shy of turning 16. I wasn't a great kid. I was living kind of on the street with the wrong crowd, doing bad things. And my friend was on probation, and his probation officer actually put him into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school and a mixed martial arts school. And that school is called Oliver MMA. And what happened was, he was trying to get all of us to go with him because he didn't want to go by himself. And I never decided to go with him. And then one day he bought me something to eat, and I told him I'd pay him back. And he said, no, don't worry about it. Just come train with me. So I went in with him the next day to train. And then I fell in love with it, never left. The first class I went to was a beginner's class. The next day they had an advanced class. They told me I couldn't come, and I just went anyway. That's kind of how I got into it, and I practically never left after that.
Well, so you just threw yourself straight into that advanced class. You just wanted to be chucked in the deep end.
Yeah, so I didn't like losing, and on the first day I rolled with a couple of guys, and they beat the crap out of me. So I went back the next day so I could try and get some payback, but they beat the crap out of me for the next few years before I started to get some revenge. But as soon as I started competing right away. I had my first competition a month, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament, a month in, and then about 3 to 4 months into my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training, I had my first MMA fight with actually no striking, with only taking one striking class. And then obviously I learned kickboxing, and then I started fighting kickboxing a lot.
So
you say a lot of this happened when you were 16 years old. Is that when you were in New Zealand or when you'd moved to America? Because you moved at 16, didn't you?
No, so I've been coming back and forth from America since I was 17. So when I was 16, I was fighting pretty much every week, if it would be jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, wrestling. I was going in between the three, and then at 17, I started traveling to America, and I started competing over here, and then I started to make connections over here, and then that's what led me to, actually moving to America full-time.
And in regards to kind of having them fights quite early on and having your first fight with only, limited striking lessons and stuff in the bank, have you always been a confident person?
Yeah, I've always been super confident. The only reason why I started to take mixed martial arts seriously is when I lost. So, my first tournament, I dominated. The second tournament, I won every match. My first MMA fight, I won. And I wasn't taking any of it seriously, I didn't really care for I only went to train because I liked it. I like the thrill of fighting, and I like to fight. So that's why I was always going to training. But I never took anything serious. And then I did another jiu-jitsu tournament, and it was in the finals, and this guy beat me because I got tired. I ran out of gas. And ever since that loss, that's what made me actually take things seriously and really started to hone in on my training. And I was like, okay, that's never going to happen again. So ever since the beginning, I was really confident within myself.
And in regards to kind of being confident, in regards to sort of walking out to fights, now, you've been sort of privileged to walk out to packed venues, and you've also walked out into, over the last year, empty venues. Mm-hmm. How have you found that as a fighter, for somebody that, you know, is a confident young man, to have that kind of noise of the crowd, to have that taken away? How did that impact on you as a fighter?
So for me personally, it doesn't really matter because I'm not there for the crowd. The crowd just adds more excitement to me. When I'm in there, I literally zone out and it's just me and the guy. Everything else around is kind of null and void. You know, I make sure I can hear my coaches. So no matter if I'm in a big crowd or if there's no crowd, that I'm listening for my coaches' voices to, you know, give me instructions for things that I may not see. I actually get super excited walking to the cage because I love it in there. You know, it's my home. I feel free in there because a lot of times what happens with fighters is they get scared inside there. But when I get inside the cage, I feel like everything else doesn't matter. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. The handcuffs of society are taken off. You know what I mean? You can just go out there and go crazy. And so I really focus on the crowd too much. It doesn't really affect me.
And before that walkout, what's your, you know, when you're in the room before you get your call that you're going out to fight, what's your sort of pre-fight routine when you get to the venue and you've got your mitts on and you're getting ready? What's your routine?
So we show up, we get my hands wrapped right away. I like to get my hands wrapped right away, so you know I don't have to mess around or rushing around. So as soon as I show up to the venue, I get my hands wrapped. After I get my hands wrapped, you know, I do my stretching routine. I have a little like kind of like a capoeira warm up that I do that I've learned. It's a nice way to warm up, and then I go through my jiu-jitsu warm up. And then after my jiu-jitsu warm up, like a free drill, like without anybody, like solo warm up. And then I hit mitts, and then I do my wrestling drills, and then I do a little bit of jiu-jitsu. And then I sit and I rest, and then I work more on my breath work. Do a lot of breath work to kind of get my mind right, and then you know, and then I envision what's going to happen in the fight. You know, I envision what's going to happen, what I'm going to do, how my opponent's going to react to my shots, and a lot of people make the mistake when they're visualizing the fight is, what is my opponent going to do? How is my opponent going to attack me, and how am I going to defend? And the issue with that is now you're playing reactive, and when you go out there, you're actually being reactive of what your opponent's going to do. So whenever I'm visualizing, I'm always visualizing how I'm going to attack, how my opponent's going to react to my attack. So it automatically puts me, you know, a step ahead of these guys because they're thinking backwards. And then, you know, when I'm walking out, I start getting excited. I start getting happy. I'm like, okay, now the fun starts. Like, this is why I've cut weight. This is why I've sacrificed all this stuff so I can go out there and have some fun.
You talk about, like, the breathing and the visualization. Is that, like, a form of meditation for you, or to calm yourself before going out? Does that help you with nerves or anything like that, or I mean, you're 8-0. Do you get nervous? Do you just think you're going to win all the time?
So I feel like breath work is key because what happens when you do breath work, say if you show up to a tournament and you're going to fight, or fight an MMA fight, kickboxing, whatever you're going to do, a jiu-jitsu tournament, wrestling tournament, anything that is combat sports or even public speaking, you still get adrenaline rush. Right. So what happens if you don't spike your adrenaline before you get the adrenaline rush, you're going to have adrenaline dump. You know, it's kind of like a sugar crash. So if you spike your adrenaline and then you get the adrenaline rush, that adrenaline rush only peaks a little and then it drops back down to where you spiked your adrenaline originally. So what happens is if you don't do it like that, it goes up and then straight down. But if you bring it up and then it goes up again, it's going to go down to where you had it before. And then the adrenaline plateaus out already at a high pace. So that's why I use my breath work. I do a lot of breath work. I also free dive. So I work a lot on my breath. So I do spear fishing. I go spear fishing all the time. you know, I got like a 4 minute breath hold for four minute 30 seconds, I think is my max that I got.
Wow.
4 minutes. Yeah. So I work a lot on my breath. So I spike my heart rate. So what happens is when I do get that adrenaline rush and then that adrenaline dump, that's when you get that adrenaline dump, that's when you start to feel sick. That's why a lot of fighters or competitors, they go to a competition, they're like, oh, I feel sick. They don't know what to do. They puke before they fight or they puke after they fight, and they just don't feel right. They don't want to be there. So with that breath work, as I spike my adrenaline, now it's like a normal day. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, it's like, it's all right. I'm meant to be here. Now it's all just my mental. I don't have to deal with the body stress that you get from an adrenaline dump, because it's like a sugar crash. You feel weak, you feel lethargic, you feel tired, you feel sick. Through all my fights, I felt all of that. So I've figured out a strategy through my breath work to make that not happen. And then the visualization is helping me with my mental, you know, the mental side of it, saying, you know, the guy's going to catch me. Now I'm going in there like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. You know?
So does that help you with cardio as well, that kind of breath stuff, or is it more for kind of the relaxation element of it?
So once I've started free diving, spearfishing, free diving since the beginning of COVID, right? So the start of COVID, I started diving, started free diving. Just before COVID. Yeah, like June. I started free diving. And ever since then, my cardio has skyrocketed. Back then, I had like, you know, like a 30-second, 40-second breath hold, which is pretty average and pretty normal that a normal person has. And then, you know, within a month, I was holding my breath for 2 minutes. And then, Now I'm holding – I don't do as much breath work as I could, but now I'm at like a four-minute breath hold. So that – just with that, my cardio – went up insanely. In my last fight, I fought two rounds and I hadn't even broken a sweat.
That's crazy.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know?
And you touched on the weight cut as well. And we've spoke to several fighters about this and how they handle weight cuts. And we spoke to a UK fighter, Paddy Pimblett, who cut some ridiculous weight in one of his fights. And so obviously that's such a key part of the preparation for your fight. How do you deal with weight cutting? Is it something you're sort of comfortable with now, or is it a struggle? Like, how do you approach it and how do you find it?
So, I missed weight last time. So moving forward, I have to change a lot of things. I have to change my everyday life now because, I can't be walking around the weight that I'm walking around and make the weight. The last I took was on a 3-week notice, and you know, I had to cut a lot of weight to get down to where I was in 3 weeks. I had such a short window. That was really difficult. But usually if I have about 2 to 3 months, I can I get my weight gradually down, so by the time I get there I'm only water cutting 8 pounds, which is pretty easy to do. But yeah, weight cutting is the fight to me. Weight cutting is harder than the fight. The fight itself is actually really easy and really fun. It's the weight cut that I personally would say is the hardest. And I've spoken to a lot of fighters, and it's all the same. They all hate the weight cuts. I personally think we should all weigh in all year long, every week, every 2 weeks, everyone weighs in the division. And, you know, we move the division's weights up and you weigh in all year long, and then you just fight it your normal way. That'll be amazing.
2020 was professionally a great year for you, wasn't it? Because didn't you win Bellator Fighter of the Year in 2020?
Yes.
But also you got your BJJ black belt as well.
Yes.
Which of those means more to you?
I also got engaged. So that was more than all of them.
Congratulations. You
know what I mean? So that topped the year off. But, you know, I've been working my whole entire life for my jiu-jitsu black belt. And then, I won all my fights in 2020. So there was 3 fights. That was already a great year for me. And then I got my black belt. And I was like, oh, man, it's an amazing year. And then I got engaged. And then I got Bellator Fight of the Year. Round of all was just an amazing year for me, 2020. And I felt bad because, you know, it took the whole world to have a shit year for me to have a good one.
Oh, well, yeah, we need to balance these things out somehow. You know, the world's gone down, but JJ's gone up. And we're all happy for you, but JJ, that's a good thing, mate.
I was laughing with a friend because she goes to me, it took the whole entire world to have a shit year for you to have a good one. And I was like, that's pretty messed up.
JJ, can I ask about because I heard something on the broadcast of the fight recently against Pedro Carvalho about you surviving an armed robbery. Is that true? Did you you got a bullet fragment in your leg or something? Is that true?
Yeah. So you know, I've on the side I sell Rolex watches and jewelry, like high end jewelry.
Yeah.
On the side, and you know, I kind of got set up. These guys set me up. I met up with them. There was two of them. I thought there was only one. They both had guns on them. And I had on me a $22,000 Rolex, fully diamond, all diamonded out, with an Arabic dial, with a Datejust. And they, you know, the first guy, he was like, oh, I have a gun. And he was wearing a suit and tie, trying to play the part. And he goes, I have a gun. So as he reached for the gun, I grabbed him. I got both hands on the guy. I do a lot of self-defense as well. I do a lot of like gun self-defense, knife self-defense, and just self-defense in general, just in case. But I haven't gone to the range much. You know, I don't actually go out and shoot often. So, you know, I grab the gun. I get him in a body lock. I get his back, like, standing on his back with a body lock, and I have both hands on the gun at this point. I step over and I mat return him. I like basically slam his face into the concrete, and I get the gun off him as he goes to the ground. As it goes to the ground, as I rip the gun off him, he pulls the trigger and it shoots the ground, and then the ricochet goes into my leg. And then I get the gun off him, and he's kind of unconscious because, you know, his head smashes against the concrete. So he's kind of unconscious. And then his friend comes sprinting around the corner with his gun pointed out. He's screaming. I don't know what he's screaming. And at this point, I had the other guy's gun in my hands. So I pointed at him. I try to fire in the gun jam. And then I'm trying to play with the gun. I don't know what I'm doing with the gun. You know what I mean? I'm aiming fire. I don't know why it jammed. I don't know what I was doing. And I was trying to find cover because he had the gun. I don't know if it was loaded. I don't know if it was fake, but he was running at me. And I had another friend that was with me, but he wasn't trained. He was he's my partner in the jewelry business. That, you know, he owns the jewelry business, and you know, he he has all the Rolexes, the jewelry, and all that kind of stuff. He gets pistol whipped 3 times, and then they run away. And then, you know, the police come, helicopters come, SWAT team comes. It was insane.
That sounds petrifying, but it sounded like you actually dealt with it amazingly calmly. I mean, I know you're a fighter, but you don't generally walk into the octagon or the ring with a gun. So, I mean, where did that, was that just instinct? I mean, you say you do a lot of these classes and that clearly served you very well, but did you feel that kind of those butterflies, that anxiety and fear, or was it you were on autopilot?
I was on autopilot and it kind of didn't feel real. Surreal, you know what I mean? Have you ever felt like that before when something's happening and it just doesn't feel real? Like, you're like, this isn't happening. This isn't real.
When I first had sex as like a 20-year-old, yeah. not anything like scary.
Well, yeah, kind of like that. It's the same thing. I was like, is this real? Is this really happening? Or is this fake? That's literally what I was thinking.
That's absolutely mental. I mean, you sounded like you conducted yourself like a frigging superhero. I mean, between the holding the breath and that, we should be calling you Aquaman or something from now on.
You know what's so funny? I took my friend spear fishing for the very first time, and he said he dove down, and then he dove down, and he's like, man, what the hell is that thing on the bottom? He was like freaking out. And then he's like, holy shit, it's you. And he figured out it was me. And then he's like, you look like fucking Aquaman down there, bro. And ever since then, he's called me Aquaman.
Oh, mate, that's amazing. Wow, what a story. I mean, you're talking to two British guys here. So, I mean, we don't get really any interactions with guns. We wouldn't know how to fire a gun. I'd probably shoot myself or something. But, yeah, that sounds incredible.
I'm originally from New Zealand, so we don't really mess around with handguns. We got rifles. I grew up hunting, but not handguns. I don't know what I was doing. So now I have a lot of friends in law enforcement and you know, border patrol and all that kind of stuff. They're like, you got to come down to the range with us, and we got to teach you.
Wow.
I was like, yeah,
wow.
Too many people around here they have guns, so you just got to be careful.
You mentioned New Zealand, and there's been such a surge in the kind of New Zealand MMA scene. You know, you've got Adesanya, Dan Hooker, even Volkanovski. I know he's Australian, but he trains over at City Kickboxing as well. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you think that the New Zealand MMA scene is just on fire at the moment?
Little do people know is that New Zealand dominated the kickboxing scene for many years. You know what I mean? A few people know that. A lot of fight fans know that. You know, if you're an overall fan of every martial art, you know that New Zealand has always had great kickboxers. You know, like Ray Sif or Mark Hunt. If you go way back then, back like K1 days, there was a lot. And all of them, they all come from Philip Lam, and then that goes down to Lolo, and then it goes down to, you know, several different trainers that are now at City Kickboxing, like Eugene, Twister. There's a bunch of amazing striking coaches there. But it all comes down from the same kind of tree. And that those guys, like Mark Hunt, Ray Sefo, they dominated the K1 scene back in the day. And then, you know, all that knowledge from those coaches just got passed down. And then, you know, we have Israel Adesanya that took over. He's been dominating kickboxing scene for years. You know, he's had almost 100 fights in kickboxing with like 2 losses, and those 2 losses were for the Glory World title. One, he got knocked out in Brazil, which was a lucky shot. He beat the crap out of the guy, then he got caught. And then the other loss was against Adam for the Glory World title, which I thought he won. It was a controversial decision. So we've always had great striking. It's just they were never in MMA, right? There was no money in MMA. They were making a lot of money in kickboxing. But now there's a lot of money in MMA. They all transferred over to MMA. Bigger names, bigger audience that, you know, they just – I think that's why they're still dominating. They just transferred what they knew from kickboxing and took it into mixed martial arts.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we hear a lot. I mean, you talk about there being more money in MMA. We hear a lot about the money that's being paid to fighters in Bellator and fighters in the UFC. And it, it feels, I mean, Phil, obviously you're not obliged to answer this if you don't want to. But it appears that the pay structure at Bellator seems to be a lot more favourable to the fighters than what there is in the UFC. And I just wonder, you know, as a fighter that's, you know, currently 8-0, like, where do you want to sort of go with this? Is this to dominate Bellator, to move to UFC, or are you happy where you are in Bellator?
So currently Bellator are looking after me really well. And, you know, I have a lot of friends in different organizations that, you know, in similar positions to me, but they're getting paid less. You know what I mean? So I really think that Bellator has a great interest within their fighters than, you know, than some of these other organizations where they're just, they're looking, these other organizations like UFC and other ones, they're looking for the superstar to pay. You know what I mean? They put out feelers. It's like a, it's like what businesses do when they're trying to find who they're going to sponsor, right? They're just sponsoring everybody and give them practically nothing, and then when the superstar arises, give that superstar everything, right? And I feel like a lot of it's a great business model if you're running a business, but if you're a fighter, that's not the business model that you want to be a part of, right? Because you're putting your whole life on the line to go out there, and then if you lose, you just get tossed to the side. That's kind of the fight game, and you got to kind of realize that coming into this is like, if you can get tossed aside as quickly as you got picked up. So you always got to keep that in mind. And but I definitely believe that Bellator looks after their fighters a little bit better than other organizations, you know. But of course, these other organizations, the superstars, they treat like kings, but everyone else, they just, you know, they just shrug them off. And it's kind of sad.
And so, looking at the Bellator and the top 10, I mean, there's some great fights to be had there, JJ. Like, what's the plan?
Adam Borks and then the title.
Nice.
Has that fight been announced or anything, or is that just what you're hoping for?
No, that's just what I'm telling everyone.
Well, that's it. You talk these things into existence, though, don't you? That's exactly, that's the way to do it.
Exactly. You know, I'm just telling everyone that. Hopefully he gets pissed off and fight.
Well, that sounds absolutely perfect. And speaking of the title, I mean, that tournament's gone exactly the way Bellator wanted it to. You've ended up with Patricio Pitbull versus undefeated AJ McKee. What, do you have any thoughts on that fight? Who takes it, or why one person would have an advantage over the other?
I think it's going to be a great fight. I think AJ McKee has the tools to beat Pitbull. But, you know, you can never count Pitbull out. I really don't know which way this fight's going to go. I believe Pitbull could knock him out right away. I believe that AJ McKee could put an upset. So I'm really conflicted on who's going to win. So I'm really interested to see who fights, and, you know, I possibly will be fighting the winner. So that puts a little bit more interest into the fight.
That's brilliant, mate. I mean, it's like you're 23, right?
Yes, sir.
23 years old. You're fourth ranked in Bellator. Hopefully, one fight away from a title shot as well. It seems like, you know, the world's your oyster at the moment. Is it hard to keep your feet on the ground, or is that quite an easy thing to do?
You know, my fiance keeps my feet on the ground real quick. so, you know, my coaches keep my feet on the ground. So for me, it's pretty easy to keep my feet on the ground. I kind of forget about it when I'm outside. I go diving, and then I see a shark, and that puts me in perspective. Yeah. That puts things in perspective real quick, you know.
Yeah, I bet it does. Yeah, that's a unique way of keeping your feet on the ground, by just regularly seeing sharks.
Yeah, no, that was scary. you know, I dove down one day and I saw a seven gill that was like 7 foot, and that, yeah, that definitely put things in perspective real quick. You've become the predator to the prey real quick.
Wow.
Sharks, armed robbery, and cage fighting. You need a calmer hobby, man. You need to find something that's a lot easier to deal with. You should start reading books or something like that, man.
You tell my fiance that, she always gets a heart attack.
Is that your fiance that's with you right now?
Yes, right here.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Well, look, we're sorry to have taken up so much of your time. We see that you're in the car there. And you're
I'm
probably looking
to
forward
it.
To.
You're all good. I'm used to it.
Yeah, we're about to get some oysters.
Oh,
so she's happy.
Nice.
Lovely. Right, well, we don't want to keep you any longer, mate. It's been such a pleasure chatting
Thanks,
to you.
Thanks, JJ. Thank you, all the best, man. All the best. Can't wait to see you take that belt.
Thank you very much. I can't wait to come back on here and with the belt.
And what's your fiance's name, sorry?
Sunny.
Sunny, thanks so much. Cheers.
No problem. Cheers.
Take care, man.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, you guys,
JJ.
Have a great day.
You too, man.
You too, mate.
I mean, a legit superhero.
Wow. Aquaman, a.k.a. the Maori kid, a.k.a. JJ Wilson. That's what
so,
a chat.
Yeah, I just took him down, you know, grabbed the gun. Then the other guy was punched. Now you just think, this is what you see in films. Like,
yeah.
It's just insane.
And it's like, oh, how do you keep your feet on the ground? Oh, just swim with a few sharks. Yeah, that's just swim with a few sharks. I mean, that's amazing. What? It's such a cool guy. And he's so young. He's so young, 23 years old. And, I mean, I personally thought he was maybe next in line for the title shot anyway, but he's talking about having another fight beforehand, which I think is a great thing. Someone so young, don't rush it. AJ McKee and you know, Pitbull have been around a long time, so getting that extra fight in could be a great thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that was just such a great chat. What an interesting bloke. I hope we get to have him on again at some point.
Absolutely, we're going to totally hold him to coming back on when he's got the belt. Our first American fighter on the podcast.
American, New Zealand, I don't know, it's kind of a mixture.
Well, I thought it was really interesting that he'd kind of been going back and forth for quite a long time.
Yes, yes, since he was
really
a teenager. Yeah, so,
yeah
I mean, that was great. I absolutely loved that interview. What a great, great chat. It was nice that we were able to reschedule, because I don't know how happy he'll be about me saying this, but he has been in Miami. I think he's been partying, and there was one interview he didn't turn up for. But he's rescheduled for us, which is good. So I'm hanging him out to dry there a little bit. But what a lovely bloke and a great chat.
Absolutely. And if this is your first time listening to the MMA Fan Podcast, and you like hearing fighters talking about their careers today and the whole journey of getting to where they've got, then go and check out the back catalogue, because you can hear episodes with British UFC legend Brad Pickett, his protege Nathaniel Wood, who else have we had on? Paddy the Baddy Pimblett,
Arnold Allen,
Molly McCann, Arnold Allen, JoJo Calderwood.
JoJo Calderwood.
Yeah. And we've got some other great fighters lined up to be guesting soon. And on the Fight or Flight episodes, who else have we had on?
We've had Laura Checkley and Emily Head from The Inbetweeners. We've had, we will be releasing one with Lee Mack very soon. We've got Ben Shepherd coming up very soon. Scroobius Pip's been on the show a couple of times. Is there anyone I'm missing from the old Fight or Flight?
Well, there was one we did do a nice kind of pre 261 or 260. What did we do with Pip and Brian? Was that 260?
I think it might have been 260. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. That's a great chat, that is. There's a really nice chemistry there between ourselves and obviously MMA superfan Scroobius Pip and MMA commentator Brian Lacey. And hopefully going to try and get them guys back on ahead of UFC
262. Yes. Oliveira Chandler, Nate Diaz, Leon Edwards. Ooh. Oh, there's some cracking fights on that card.
Yeah, boy. And yeah, and we're on the socials. So give us a like, love, share, and a retweet. And the best thing to do to ensure you don't miss a single episode is to subscribe to this podcast. And yeah, send us a message as well. Tell us what you like and who you'd like to hear us talk to.
All right. There you go.
We out.
We out.
Laters.
Bye.